reduce the risk of getting some obesity-related diseases. We just don't know yet. But it certainly is an expensive way to do it, with a treatment ranging from between £1,000 and £5,000, so very costly. This is The Naked Scientist with Dr. Chris and Dr. Kat. We're talking about the genetics of obesity this week, and we're also talking about epigenetics in just a second, how what a woman eats when she's pregnant could affect the health of her unborn child for the rest of its life. And also, don't forget our kitchen science experiment. Dave and Ben were making some jelly this week and adding various things to it, fruits, and they added some pineapple, they added some kiwi fruit, they also added apple and oranges and things. Margaret in Clacton's been in touch, and she said she doesn't know what the answer is or why, but she has found that when you add kiwi to a jelly, it doesn't set. So maybe the key is in there. Kat?
Yes, now we've already heard how important hormones are in controlling obesity, but could obesity be determined as early as in the womb? Now, pregnant women are bombarded with information about what to do, what not to do, what to eat, what not to eat, and so on and so on. But what does it actually mean for mothers? And if a woman is overweight and is pregnant, does it mean that your child's also likely to be overweight? Now, we're joined by Professor Lucilla Poston from King's College London. Hello, good
Hello.
Evening. And she's researching, among other things, how fetal nutrition ultimately affects people when they're grown up. So let's start by sort of looking at this whole thing about when you're pregnant, eating for two. How does a woman's diet actually affect what's going on in her developing baby?
Well, perhaps I should begin by saying it's never a good thing to eat for two. And that's what a lot of women believe, that they should eat more. And you only need to eat a very little bit more when you're pregnant. We are beginning to see now a huge explosion in understanding of how diet in pregnancy can affect the developing child and even increase the risk of some diseases as that child grows up. Most of the work which has been done so far has been in relation to undernutrition, and people have shown that babies who are born small are more likely to develop diabetes and become obese when they grow up. But we're particularly interested in our work in London in the effect of overeating in pregnancy, and also if a woman is already obese when she becomes pregnant. Now, it's been known for a long time that being obese in pregnancy is associated with lots of problems for the mum, that she may have more diabetes and more preeclampsia and more risk of stillbirth and so on. And that indeed is a huge problem in the United Kingdom at the moment. But we do know now that the children of women who are obese tend to be obese themselves. And you may say, OK, well, that's because they live in the same family and they have the same genes and so on. But there are some studies which suggest that there is something going on in relation to what the mother's eating or whether she's fat and the relationship with the child's obesity. And there are some very good studies which suggest that it is an independent association unrelated to genes. Not convincingly proven yet. But actually, what is so interesting, we've been looking at obese animals and we've been making mice and rats obese in pregnancy. And we found remarkably that the young animals grow up obese, even though they're eating a normal diet. So that's got us really excited.
So there's been a fundamental change in their metabolism in some way.
Yes, and what we're seeing is that they're actually eating more, so they have an increase in appetite and they sit around more, they're less active. So as Professor Bloom was saying earlier, it's all a relationship between what you take in and what and how much exercise you do. And these animals seem to be eating more and taking less exercise, so it's hardly surprising that they actually become a bit fatter.
In my previous incarnation as a scientist, I was working in epigenetics, looking at how things that happen to your genes when you're developing as a fetus, they can affect the size that you are. And a story that also always used to get told in the field was about the Dutch mothers. These were women who were pregnant during the war, who had very little food, and they had babies who were very, very small. But then when after the war was over and everyone had enough food again, these small babies who'd grown into women then still had small babies themselves. So it suggested there was a change that had actually happened to their genes.
Exactly, yeah.
So is this the same thing going on but in fat?
There is certainly evidence from if you treat animals with less of a dietary intake, you give them an undernutrition type diet in pregnancy, you can show quite categorically that some of their genes are permanently changed. And what people have been looking at is the methylation status of the promoter region of certain genes which control growth. And they are remarkably different in the offspring of animals which have been subjected to undernutrition. On the converse side, we're looking at that now in relation to obesity, and there's much less evidence so far, but we're beginning to see data coming out, both from our laboratory and others, that there are permanent changes to the expression of some genes, and that could be through altered methylation status. It's very exciting.
So these are the sort of the switches that have switched genes on and off.
Yeah.
And those sort of mechanisms, they probably act, isn't it, quite early on in development? And what sort of time in the development from an egg to a fetus to then a born baby are these kind of influences of maternal weight acting?
Well, we've been doing some work on pre-implantation embryos. That's before the embryo gets embedded in the womb. And we've been looking at mitochondrial activity, and they're very different if the mother is obese. This is, again, from animal studies. So it could suggest that very, very early on there's an impact of obesity. More recently, we've been looking also at the postnatal period and during the suckling period, and we think that's incredibly important in relation to the development of the hypothalamus of the offspring. And Professor Bloom was talking about that. The hypothalamus is the seat of energy control, and it produces lots of peptides which control appetite. And we're seeing remarkable changes in the expression of those peptides in the hypothalamus in the offspring of animals who are obese. So it may be that the suckling period is particularly important, or late gestation, but probably different periods adding all up to creating a slightly different phenotype in the offspring.
And to stress, this isn't just a to do with the sort of the nurture, the type of household you're brought up in, if there's lots of food and if people are generally overweight. It really is something that's in the genes and how they interact with the environment.
Yeah, I mean, it's extremely difficult in human studies to tease out the contribution of genes, the contribution of the shared environment and so on. And people are trying to do that by statistical analysis, and it is very hard to prove that this is an acquired defect in terms of appetite and obesity. So that's where the animal studies come in very strongly, because obviously we can use animals of exactly the same genetic background, we can control the environment, the nutritional environment, and so on. So the animal studies at the moment are telling us far more than the human studies, but some human studies are planned, including one which we are running in the United Kingdom, whereby we're going to try and intervene in obese ladies' pregnancies to try and improve diet, and then we'll be looking at the genes of their children to see whether the intervention has actually had any effect on the expression of some genes relating to appetite control and so on.